podcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Mangi, Education Matters for Gateway WGTD 91.1 HD. Thank you for your ongoing support of Gateway and this radio program and for listening to us this morning. This is the third in a series of Kenosha Being Kind as we recognize and celebrate the many people who go the extra mile each and every day to make our community better. And we're really honored this morning to have Principal Shebaniah Mohammed, Principal of Grant Elementary School here in Kenosha and recipient of the Mahone Foundation's newly named Sheb Mohammed Signature Award. Sheb, it's one thing to receive a prestigious award, but it's another to have the award named after you. So, how does it all feel?
Well, first of all, good morning to everyone. And I want to say thank you, Dr. Mangi, for having me here today as part of your series. I'm honored to be in your presence. I do have to say about the Signature Award and receiving it, that in and of itself was a very humbling experience, overwhelming. And I'm just thankful that the Mahone Foundation thought enough of me and the work I've done in Kenosha to be considered for that. The biggest surprise that evening was having the Signature Award named after me. And still, you know, almost 2 weeks later, still taking it in, trying to fully understand it, and hopefully I can just live up to what that award mean for so many. I have to say, like my daughter said, she's just like, wow, Daddy, that's named after you now.
Yeah.
So I'm just overwhelmed with that. Thankful to God that I embody what the Mahone Fund, those board of directors and people see that word means. And so I just say the work continues for me now. So looking forward to another 21 plus years of work in the Kenosha community.
Oh, thank you, Sheb. That's amazing. So you got a standing ovation at Carthage from 400 people. So when they announced your name and the award, how did you make it from your seat in the audience all the way up to the stage? Were your knees wobbly or what happened?
Well, they signaled for me to come up. And so as I'm standing there listening to Dr. Albrecht, you know, do the introduction.
Sure.
First of all, as I'm listening, I said, that's not what I wrote for the bio. Who is that guy he's talking about? And not realizing it was a standing ovation, yeah. Honestly. I didn't realize that until, you know, people told me about it.
Sure.
And so just nervous throughout the whole piece, like, don't make a mistake. Mm-hmm. Make, you know, have my notes, make sure I covered everything that I felt was important for me.
Sure.
And honoring the people that was there to support me and be a part of that night.
Well, that's just fantastic. So this is the 20th anniversary of the Mahone Scholarship Awards. 230 student scholarships so far. Now, you chair the Mahone Scholarship Committee. So what do you look for when you decide on a recipient?
As co-chair of the scholarship.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Who co-chairs with
you?
So
that's Artis Mosley Mahone.
Sure.
And Terry Ruck from Snap-on.
Sure.
So we all, you know, co-chairs. And what we look for, there's a scholarship application, mm-hmm. you know, that everyone has to complete. And so we're looking for students that, you know, embody, you know, that Mahone spirit of, you know, community service, giving back, but also students that, you know, want to continue on with their life.
Sure.
You know, we're looking to support kids that may not necessarily have all of the financial support mm-hmm. that, you know, coming from our low income, our Black students, Hispanic students, and students in general. So we look to just say, hey, who needs our support? But who are those students that really are striving to better themselves, that, you know, may not have the best of backgrounds, but they're in school every day trying to move to that next level, you know, going to college, going to career. You know, some are still supporting their families through part-time jobs and being very successful in school. Students that, whether I've come in personal contact with or just counselor recommend, we want to make sure the students have an opportunity, a chance that others have. Mm-hmm. We want to give students that opportunity, a chance that they may not even realize is there. But also saying, hey, you're part of a bigger scheme in life, a bigger family now, as a Mahone scholarship recipient, that's about giving back and bringing the next generation forward.
I think it's tremendous. I mean, you're giving a lot of kids hope and a chance to realize their dreams. So can you tell us, how did you get involved with the Mahone Foundation?
It all began years ago when I was a senior at Carthage. I needed a job.
Oh, okay.
And Laura Rogers, who was then the director of the Lincoln Center, said, Sheb, I have a job for you at the Lincoln Center. And so started working there as the parent liaison and gang prevention specialist for Lincoln Elementary.
Okay.
Then Tim Mahone became the interim director after Laura. And so that is how I got to know Tim. But I met Mother Mahone years ago when the Black Student Union from Carthage would give out Christmas and Thanksgiving baskets, and then met Miss Artis at the Lincoln Center. And so working for Tim, the friendship developed, and it just continued even after I left. The Lincoln Center became a classroom teacher. Mm-hmm. We had started Reaching for Rainbows.
Okay.
You know, that very first fundraiser.
Sure.
Just sitting at the boathouse and planning on a napkin, like, what if we had a gospel concert? And raise funds for the Lincoln Center. And so that began that idea and planning. And so from then on, it's just been a true friendship, a mentorship. We've learned so much from each other over the years, working together, and they just continue to develop.
Sure.
And so we'll call each other up. Hey, I got an idea. Let's do this. Or let's do that. Let's get these kids over to this program. And so it's just once he established the actual Mahone Foundation in Mother Mahone's name, it was just a natural flow of events that we continue to work together to this day.
I remember Tim Mahone. I was Tim's assistant principal at Bullen Junior High back in the mid-70s. That's when I met Mr. and Mrs. Mahone and the Mahone family. Mm-hmm. And Timmy, he says, I'm the only guy that he allows to call him Timmy. Tim had so much charisma, is such a wonderful young man. He's probably the only student in history to be student council president of his junior high, 7th grade, 8th grade, and 9th grade. I mean, Timmy owned that school. Mm-hmm. You know, he absolutely owned that school. So do you have any stories to share of the students who have been recipients, any positive comments from them? How did things turn out for them? How did this help them on their way? You ever hear from anybody?
Actually, we do. I do stay in contact with students that have received the, you know, the scholarship.
Sure.
So, I mean, even one recent one, Corey, who's he'll be a senior this year at Parkside. He received it roughly 3-4 years ago. Stay in contact because do things out at Parkside, but just even developing friendship with them, that from there, volunteering at events, you know, he's doing great. His mother is very thankful. And the relationship is a mentor-mentee relationship, friend-to-friend, that he'll call once in a while just to check up on me and ask questions, and I'll check up on him. And then just other recipients that have went on to college and came back. Mm-hmm. So they become not just recipients, but part of the Mahone family, part of the Mahone Fund, that they reach out to artists, reach out to Tim, myself, and others. So it's, you develop just a good relationship with the students. They a lot of them participate and volunteer at the Jazz and Blues Fest at Power Up in the fall. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly seeing them. whether they're at Parkside, Carthage, students at Gateway, or even as adults that they move on. Like Trey was at the event, you know, two Saturdays ago, Reaching for Rainbows.
Sure.
And he spoke, and we've stayed in contact. He was a student at Tremper, and he was part of our CEO group that had internships. And
okay.
So just stay in contact.
You made a good point. It isn't just about the student. It's also about the moms,
mm-hmm.
the dads, the brothers, the sisters. It's really become a family.
Yeah.
And to sustain something like this for 20 years. So what's coming up this summer? The Jazz Festival is usually in August.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's in August.
Yep, okay.
The Jazz and Blues Fest at Harbor Park. Beautiful event on the lakefront.
Sure.
It's always wonderful.
Yeah.
And again, just continuing with the Home Fund and the partnerships with Gateway and Herzing, trying to provide more summer opportunities for kids,
mm-hmm.
whether it's summer classes at Herzing where kids can get that college experience for free,
okay.
earn some credits. So
sure.
we're working, you know, still working on that, and then still working on those internships for kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, through the local businesses and their partnerships with the Mahone Fund, so kids can have practical, hands-on experience. You know, it's one thing to have the academic and the classroom learning, but now here's a chance to give them an opportunity to see a career up front and personal, and maybe they'd be, you know, more interested in that, or say, oh, that's not for me.
Right.
I want to do something else.
Well, and you add to a student support system when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
When I was principal at Bradford, the kids would always ask me, hey, Mr. Manji, who's in your posse? You know, who do you got?
Yeah.
And so the more you surround kids, I mean, they are our future, with
mm-hmm.
as many support people as you can. And when you have an internship with a business or an organization, you add on, don't you, the mentors and tutors and those
exactly.
people. Yeah.
Yeah. The kids, you know, build a network.
They do.
And beyond just now, just the Mahone Fund, it's like, oh, whoever, when you're doing that internship, you're a supervisor. Now you have a relationship.
Sure.
A relationship with the people that you've worked with beyond that. So now their posse, their network grows, mm-hmm. and then they start understanding how business works.
Right. So how do you find the excellence in kids? A little bit of a story. I would always meet with the kids who were in trouble mm-hmm. at Bradford, and I'd sit down with them one-on-one with a Coke or a Pepsi or a water and say, look, things aren't going so well. I'm not going to scold you. I'm not going to give you advice. I'm just going to shut up and listen. And I remember this sophomore girl, let's say Jenny, saying to me, I'm not perfect, Mr. Manji, but parts of me are excellent, and you in the school don't see my excellent parts. So we looked at her schedule, and the only class she was passing was art, doing really well. And I went to the auto shop teacher, who was hurting for enrollment, all boys in the class. They said, you know, you don't have any female students. I've got somebody. Great artist. Can we try this? He said, mm-hmm. oh, whatever it takes. 2-hour class, so it was double credit. So the guys were working on these old jalopies, and they were always out on the deck. And we brought in Jenny, and using her artwork, she started detailing cars.
Okay.
And we put the cars out on the deck with all of this fancy detailing. And once the boys saw her talent, like she was really, really good. Wow. You know, it went beyond acceptance. It opened the door for other female students. And the enrollment in auto shop mm-hmm. skyrocketed. True story. She now owns and runs 3 AutoZone shops on the suburbs of Cleveland.
Wow.
So you never know.
That's beautiful.
You know, it's a story. So excellence. How do you get your kids? I mean, you're a superstar principal at Grant. How do you get your kids to be excellent?
One of the key things you said in your story was listening.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I've been guilty of this, educators, adults. We want the kids to listen to us.
Sure.
And sometimes through their anger, frustration, disobedience, it's their way of getting us to listen to them.
Right.
And so I always say, you know, discipline with dignity. When the kid's in trouble, I need you to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
My job is also to get you to understand how not to do it again.
Sure.
But you're a kid. You're going to mess up again. But one of the key things you said was listen. And then you're starting to look at that student, that teenager, differently. Instead of looking at the trouble, when you're not in, like you say, in this one class, you're doing good.
Right.
You start looking at that diamond in the rough and saying, all right, there's a diamond under there.
Sure.
Now I need you to tell me what you're interested in.
Yeah.
You find that interest and give them solutions on how to do something, how to be successful. So for me, I think finding that excellence in the kid is just listening. My daughter's taught me something, and we were talking about this yesterday.
So you have one daughter
just
or two?
Just one.
Okay. Yep. What's
freshman
her name?
At Bradford, Leah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's asking questions about her and how she thinks and different things. And I said, what I love about you is you think differently. And she's like, what? I say, independent thought and how she thinks outside the box.
Sure.
And so what it makes me reflect and do is try to think differently. How can I approach a kid or any kid I meet differently and to see what they're not showing us to find that excellence and to get a kid to trust in themselves? Because sometimes, depending on where a kid come from, you know, two families, single family, foster care, oftentimes some of the basic things that kids want somebody to listen to them. Discipline with love, and then let them showcase their talents. And so we try to do that. It's like, let's give this child a different way to show their excellence. It's not always going to be in math class or even art class or gym, but they have something that they excel in. Now, my job as a principal, educator, father, friend, mentor is to bring it out and show that kid that there's other ways to be excellent and excel.
You do an amazing, amazing job. And one of your quotes that I read was, circumstances, don't let circumstances define who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty powerful. So I'm sure that's what you emphasize with all of your students.
I try. I mean, it's a book I read years ago, and I was probably 16 years old, and it has always stood out about circumstances. They truly depend on how we approach it. They reveal to us ourselves,
sure.
But it doesn't define me. That one moment in time is just that, a moment in time. And how I choose to learn the lesson from that moment in time, good or bad, is what will make my future different. So
let's talk about where you grew up. You know, you said you went to Carthage, and so where were you born? Did you grow up in Kenosha, or how did you get to Carthage? Let's go back in time a little bit.
All right, back in time, the short version. Born and raised in Chicago. Grew up on the South Side. Dearborn Home Projects. Three brothers and a sister. Single mom.
Okay.
So, poverty, poor.
Sure.
Nothing fantastic in that sense. But what was fantastic is my mother's drive for excellence, in a sense.
Sure.
She didn't let us settle for anything. She always pushed us, you're going to be good at school, you're going to graduate eighth grade. You graduate in high school, you're going to college.
Yeah.
You're going to do something with yourself. And she showed us that through all the years growing up. You know, she had a job, but it was always, how can I be better at the job? Okay, this job not working out, I'm going to go get another job.
Sure.
She went back to school to do things. So it was never just settling for whatever life is going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're going to go make your life. And so grew up, like I say, you know, poor. What's funny is, by today's definition of at risk, we were at risk youth.
Sure.
Single, poor, growing up in projects, right?
Yeah.
And so, but.
So how did you get from there to Carthage?
So High Park Career Academy is the high school I went to, and you can say I was in the, back then, track kids. You either was in the college track.
Sure.
Or the career, which is the tech ed and cooking classes track. So all honors classes. And I wanted to take shop classes, but those were not options. But Carthage recruited down in Chicago, and I wanted to be an engineer, and it had a 3-2 program. Three years at Carthage, 2 years at another school. You get a degree from both. That's why I got to Carthage. It was close to home, but out of state. And so I was like, all right, here we go. And one of the best things that happened to me was being at Carthage. I learned a lot about myself growing up. I looked at Carthage as a microcosm of America. Mm. Black man in America.
Right.
And making it work for me.
Which Greg Campbell, the
CEO. Dr. Campbell was the president back then.
He was a great, great man. Yep. We were really good friends at the time. But you're right that people don't realize that Carthage has reached out to Chicago and given people a chance. All about giving people a chance. So
yep.
Carthage, you graduate. You're at the Lincoln Center. How did you, your first, was it you were teaching at Lincoln Middle School?
I was the school liaison.
Okay.
And so worked under Dr. Hines my first year there.
Okay, Curtis Hines, sure.
Yep, so as a school liaison, I worked with the principal, Dr. Hines, on discipline, covered classrooms, home visits, whatever they needed me to do. Then the next year, Dick Aiello.
Sure.
You know, he comes in and worked under him, started the after-school program, the CLC program. And at that time, I graduated a degree from Carthage in graphic design and studio art.
Wow.
I was going to be an artist. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And working with children was just a job, but there were three key people at Lincoln Elementary, Katie Kubitschek, Henry Thurman, before Linda Wolf, and Shannon Sack at the time, she's Walzak now, was like, Shep, you're great with kids. I said, nope, I don't want to work with other people's kids. But, you know, that second year of doing it, was like, this is all right. And they just kept pushing me.
Yeah.
And so that's why I would say it chose me, because I didn't see a future in education for me. And during that second year, I was like, you know what? I think this is what I'm supposed to do. All right, God, if this is what you're saying, then all right, I'm going back to school. But they kept pushing and encouraging me, so I'm indebted to them forever, too. And
so then you got your educator's degree and licenses and master's degree and all that. So where did you start as a teacher?
So got my teaching certification from UW Parkside.
Okay.
And taught 1 year at Urban Day School in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Then Kathy Walsh recruited me back to Kenosha.
Okay.
She called artists, said I need to get Shep to teach in my Bridges program.
Okay.
Artists called me, said, Shep, Kathy Walsh wants you to come do an interview. I was like, I'm setting up my classroom, but I went and was like, all right, I can do this.
Sure.
Yep. And so 2001 started back teaching at Lincoln Middle School in the Bridges program. And had some of my former kids from Lincoln Elementary now in the Bridges program. And so from there, it was just that trek on up the ladder of education. And it's always been about how can I keep having a bigger impact on kids and families.
Right.
And improving their lives. I always say I get paid to do what I love, help people.
That's just a fantastic way of looking at things. So you were at Lincoln, and then you became dean at Indian Trail?
Well, it was Dean of Students at Lincoln.
Okay.
Then Dean of Students at Indian Trail.
Okay.
From there, Assistant Principal at Tremper High School for 4.5 years.
Right.
And now, rounding out year 5 at Grant Elementary as Principal.
Okay. That's awesome. You've helped hundreds of students along the way. When you look back, time flies so quickly, and you end up helping thousands of kids, you know. You don't even realize it. It's just a blur.
Yeah.
So what brings you joy at Grant Elementary School?
Seeing happy children.
Okay.
And happy families, happy teachers. I have, you know, when people ask how it's going, I always say, oh, it's fun. It's still fun. And it's fun watching and working with the staff to develop things that's going to improve the learning, the behavior, the success for the students. Even though it's work, but the end result is great. It's fun watching that student like, oh, I learned. I figured it out. It's fun watching that student come back from a field trip and the excitement on their face. It's fun just watching all the nuances of a school year and then it starts a new beginning for the next year.
Sure.
Even though you forget all the hard work, the sweat, the long hours, the frustrations, at the end of the year, it's like, yep, it's over. Mm-hmm. But you watch kids running out at the end of the year happy. They've learned. Their parents are satisfied with what we've done for and with their children.
There are many moments of sheer bliss that are etched in your brain forever. You know, that's how I feel. I can remember so many things. You know, I'm thinking, wow, I've been blessed. This is just amazing. So you talked about teachers way back when I started. We came to Kenosha in 1970. Sylvia Leone was a Cuban refugee from Castro's Cuba.
Wow.
She was a boat person. How she ended up in Kenosha still is an enigma, but because she was female and because she had a PhD, when he took over, she had to leave. So she's teaching Spanish at Lincoln, great, great teacher, and she was my mentor. And she always used to say, Joe, you're going to be a principal one day soon. Let me give you some advice. When you hire teachers, and teachers are the most important cog to me in a school system. They have to have two things.
I agree. They are.
They have to love kids, and they have to love teaching. Everything else you can fix, but you can't fix those two things. So tell me about what you look for in a great teacher, because you're hiring teachers, am I correct?
Correct. You know, I agree with you on that. That love of students and love of people.
Right.
Love of teaching. I can teach you a skill, but I can't teach you how to build relationships.
Correct.
And I know you can't get through all of that in a job interview, but it's watching and listening for those type of keywords on relationship building.
Right.
Keywords on teaching. Keywords on the fact children have a second chance. They have a third, fourth, fifth chance, because at the end of the day, their brains haven't developed like ours have.
Right.
And so they think they're making right decisions, but at the end of the day, they're still the child developing. So I look for teachers that have that passion for education, passion for children, and want to just make life better for others.
I agree. There has to be one of the great all-time quotes came from a Kenosha teacher who said, Joe, my kids are my heartbeat. And you find teachers who have so much love and passion for kids that you can't help but be successful in their room. I mean, kids come to school just to be with that teacher.
Yep.
Sometimes, where else can a kid go where he or she is going to be loved and welcomed and enjoyed? And you made a great comment about being with your kids brings you joy. It brings you happiness. I mean, that's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the Batman costume that you wear at Grant. So why Batman? Why not Superman or Iron Man? Or
there's two sides to that story. So the beauty, I'll start. I love telling stories.
Ah, great.
So the beauty of Carthage is I met some of my best friends for life, the brotherhood. So his name is Alan. We call him Smurf. And so we both loved Marvel and comic books.
Okay.
And so how the Batman came to be, we were driving to Milwaukee one day, and I'm just messing with the radio and all the buttons. He's like, okay, Batman, look, the Joker's not chasing us. So the joke started with him and I.
That's pretty good. The Joker's not chasing us. Okay.
And so he became Spider-Man. But at the school, I remember it was Superhero Day or something. And so Batman has always been one of my favorite just superheroes.
Yeah.
He's an average man, no superpowers. But he fights with gadgets, and he fights with everyday items in a sense.
Sure.
So I needed a costume for Superhero Day, and I had a, I want to say that Batman cape from Great America, so I brought it to school and wore it. And so that's how it became just Batman at the school for Superhero Day.
Yeah, I've seen you in that costume, and the kids, you're like the Pied Piper. It was like a million kids gathered around you everywhere you go. You know, it's kids are your posse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are. It's a blessing. My daughter gets tired whenever we're in Kenosha driving around. I see somebody I know. Just yesterday, a young man from my Lincoln Center days,
sure,
picking up his son from Bradford, have my daughter, I stop, hey, so-and-so, how you doing? He's like, hey, Mr. Sheb, it's going good. He's an adult, still call me Mr. Sheb.
Yeah.
My daughter just makes the face. And, you know, like, it's good to see. And he says something that touched me, and you just don't realize the influence, the impact you have on a person's life. He said, hey, you kept me out of jail.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm like, I had no response, just, you know, praise be to God, man. And all I could think about is he was one of the kids at the Lincoln Center that was with us.
Yeah.
And even though he's a teenager, we kept him involved in sports and, you know, just the activities. But you never know the impact you have on somebody's life until a situation presents itself, those circumstances.
Sure.
And, you know, so I work nowadays to really just thank people that have had that impact on my life. You surprised me when I was working at Indian Trail. You knew my name. You're walking through, here's the superintendent. I'm just this dean of students. You're like, hey, Shep, how you doing? How's it going? It shocked me. I'm like, that's the superintendent. He knows who I am. Wow.
Yeah.
Very impressive. But it's, and I thank you for the opportunities you've helped give me, and just watching you and speaking with you when I have the opportunity to learn from you. So thank
you.
Well,
it's a thank you, Shep, for what you're doing for kids. I mean, it's amazing what you're doing. So let's talk about closing the achievement gap,
mm-hmm,
because it's a serious problem in Wisconsin. It has been for decades. I mean, we've been fighting this fight since the 60s and 70s, as long as I can remember. What ideas do you have? What strategies? How are you working to close the achievement gap?
Specifically at Grant, number one is the high expectations for everybody.
Great.
All the students.
Sure.
I don't care where you come from, your circumstances. When you step foot in the school, the expectations are the same for you as they are for everyone, Black, white, Hispanic. One thing we do, we have our standard curriculum that we have to give every child.
Okay.
But we also give the children what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what I mean by that is utilizing our Title I funds, we've brought in support staff.
Okay.
Within our, in the workshop model, literacy lab and math lab, where students, the first hour they get guided instruction,
mm-hmm,
that grade level curriculum. But they also start moving in centers, whether it's read to self, writing, they do word work and different things, writing. So, and then in math, they also, they have what they're working on in math. Then in their centers, they're working on their Excel placemats, or they're doing compass learning and different things. But they also now rotate in groups by their ability level. So they now they're getting what they need.
Okay.
So if you're high achieving, you're getting what you need to stretch.
Sure.
If you're right at the middle, you're getting what you need to bring you to grade level. If you're below, you're getting what you need in the center with your classroom teacher now,
mm-hmm,
to start moving you forward. And so that work has paid off over the last 5 years, that the data is improving.
Mm-hmm.
Our gap is closing.
That's great.
I mean, I show my staff this every year, according to MAP and PALS data and Ford exam, the whole school continuously improving.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at our subgroups and compare our subgroups, Black, Hispanic, ELL, special education, starting from 2013-14 school year. And each year you see that according to MAP, expected written norm and growth, those students in each subgroup are growing too. And it's interesting, it's now, you know, there's a gap when you're comparing 100 kids to 20.
Sure.
You know, but how are they growing is important. Then I show them by grade level, you know, by school, by subgroups, how the kids are growing. And so it's paying off. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's a partnership with between the school and the parents and having that communication.
How do you get parents more actively involved at the school with their kids? What are some of the things that you do?
As the principal, I'm out there in the morning and after school talking to parents.
You are. I see you. That's great.
You come in the building, I'm trying to build relationships, laugh with you, crack that joke. I'm calling you when the child's had a mistake and in trouble, but also try to call when it's just something positive. But my teachers also, they're communicating with their parents. They use Class Dojo, newsletters. They're out before school and after school. So it's really trying to break down all barriers between the school and home. And we know there's still going to be issues, and there's still going to be miscommunication. But even when that happened, how can we correct it? And so I don't say I have a magic formula, but just to be present, be visible, and, you know, build genuine relationships with everybody as best as you can.
What I saw the other week when I stopped by to try to get to see you, and I had to wait in line because there were moms with babies. It was like 3-4 people. But it's really cool that your office is right next to the front door. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right about being accessible. And I see you outside in the morning. And the other good thing is you're outside when the kids leave. So I was always taught your goodbyes have to be as strong as your hellos.
Mm-hmm.
You get welcomed a lot to places, but then you walk out and it's like, then, you know, next.
Right. Yeah.
But you're out there with the kids after school. That's fantastic. So parents are, I think you hit the nail on the head, Chip. Parents feel comfortable coming to you. I always worried when teachers and kids stopped coming to me, then I knew something was amiss.
Yep.
You can be overwhelmed with issues and problems, but the great news is people trust you to come to you with their issues and problems. Yeah. That's key.
It is. And, you know, when I look back, I remember 5 years ago when I stepped into Grant, I had a master plan. Like, all right, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's talk to parents, talk to the teachers, sit and do these different things.
Sure.
And it's amazing that, you know, you can have the master plan, your ideas anyway, of what, and then reality hits.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're gonna have your bumps and bruises. But I think I've learned through mistakes that effective communication.
Yes.
And that clear communication. And, you know, people say, you know, you have to explain something or write as if they do not know your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And even in talking and clearing up, and it's so important. And so
I was lucky in my earlier days to have a superintendent, John Hosmanic, who would come in with an idea to all of the principals, 60, 70 principals. And he'd go, an idea is loose. So he'd put up on his display this idea. He wanted to make change, and everybody went nuts. Like, oh, no, we can't do this. What's Hosmanic thinking? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he backed off. 3 months later, he's back, another meeting. It's the same plan, the same strategy, the same change. Now only 50% of the people are upset with him, but he's got 50%.
Yeah.
So he'd come back, you know, with a smile on his face. He knew. I mean, he was smart. Yeah, a couple of months later, same plan, same strategy. Now he had his 80%, and boom, off he went. But he understood that ideas and change comes by increments, and it takes time. You know, you have to give people. Plus, you, how do you include teachers and give them input in what's going on?
You know, one of the best things I've done, I can honestly say, is creating leadership team, but also teacher teams for literacy, for math, PBIS, science and social studies, and listening to them to even create what's called SAS, Success at School Team.
Wow.
And the parent engagement team. Because I, my teacher tell you, I said, I'm going to have ideas. And I may feel I have the best idea, but we together can have the better and best idea. And as long as this was best for kids, I'll champion it. Even if I don't like it, I'll go with it because we say it was best for kids. And like what we've done in literacy and math and reading, words their way. I may not like it. I say it's a hard way to teach spelling.
Sure.
But it's what's best for kids, and our kids are reading better and building those skills. So creating that opportunity so that teachers and staff members have the input, because it's our school. And I told them, we're going to succeed or fail together.
There you go.
The district office is going to say, Shep, Grant Elementary is. They're not going to look at a specific grade level. They're not going to say this one teacher. They're going to say Grant Elementary. And so our success is just that, our success.
That's a fantastic way of putting it. I like Craig Council, manager of the Brewers, tells his team, your job is to make your teammate better. If I don't see you making your teammate better, you're not going to be a Milwaukee Brewer for long. So it's amazing that that's a key point in helping a school reach its acme. Yeah. So we're closing out. This is Joe Manji and Shebaniah Muhammad, winner of the prestigious Mahone Award and awesome principal of Grant Elementary School, a.k.a. Batman, and we found out how you came to be Batman. That's awesome. This is Gateway Education Matters 91.1 HD, and we're really appreciative, Sheb, to share. We could go on for hours. We gotta continue with part two of the Shebaniah Muhammad story. It's awesome. So we gotta one last thing. Now you're getting to the point where you can give other principals advice. What would you say to a rookie principal?
Oh, man.
We got 55 seconds.
I would say, number one, be patient.
Okay.
Listen to your different stakeholders. Understand what you value. Live it. Know when to push and pull, and know when to ask for help. Do not be too proud to ask for help or advice from others.
That's huge, Sheb. Thank you for so much for all that you do. You're one of Kenosha's leaders, and you're practicing kindness with hundreds of kids, making a difference. So we're going to say thank you. Again, it's Gateway WGTD 91.1 HD. This is Education Matters. Thank you for listening to us. Do an act of kindness this week, and let us know how people are being kind to you. Thank you so much, Sheb. Have a great end of the school year. It's coming up.
Yep. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here in your presence.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring the market's four meat and poultry providers, BSW Farms, Greenfire Farm, Lester Bison Farm, and Sherwood Game Farm, beef, bison, goat, lamb, poultry, pork, and more. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins, the premier southeastern Wisconsin workshop for family